Hello and welcome to another episode of the Thrive-On Challenge. I'm your host, Dr. Handan Akil. The Thrive-On Challenge is about helping international medical graduates rediscover their passion for medicine while working abroad, far away from their home countries. We do that by interviewing and having in-depth conversations with those who have gone through this journey. We have been trying to dissect why physicians from certain countries would like to pursue their career abroad, but more importantly, how we could support each other by sharing our genuine experiences. It does not necessarily have to be a positive one. I believe the consequences of our decisions could seem as success or failure under that day's circumstances. But the most important thing to care should be what you learn, gain from those adventures, I will say. That's why I try to avoid using those terms, success or failure, in my conversations. Today, we have a very special guest. I believe many of the listeners know him from the social media account Facebook created for Turkish international medical graduates who would like to pursue their career in the UK. I guess a lot of people, especially who have finished their residency back at home, would like to know that how has he been able to get the point where he is now. He's a neurologist trained back in Turkey and subsequently pursuing his career as a stroke consultant in Leicester Hospital, NHS Trust. UK. He graduated from the medical school in 2012. He got into neurology specialty training in 2013 and received his neurologist title in 2017. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Saydan İnce is with us. Saydan, welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Thank
Hi.
You for welcoming me. Hi. It's fantastic to have you on.
Thank you. Same here. I'm quite honored to be attending this interview with you.
Thank you. So I think you have a unique experience with within your field. You really have been practicing medicine in your field that most trainees, physicians would aspire to or had originally thought that's the way they would want to pursue their career. I believe there must have been quite suffering given the fact that clinical care of the neurology patients needs dedication and hard work. Before we get into this, I was hoping if you could take us through the journey that got you here. Please tell us where you are from, where you grew up, how eventually you ended up getting into medicine.
Okay. So I must say I'm always a lucky person. I was born and raised in Istanbul, so I had lots of opportunities in means of high school and also the medical university.
Mm-hmm.
And after finishing my residency in Istanbul, I was thinking about maybe moving outside, having a foreign country experience.
Mm-hmm.
Then one day I met with a friend, through another friend, without any plan or anything like that. And I learned that they were planning to move to the UK via the flat road. We just met. And in a very short discussion, like half an hour discussion, I decided to go for prep route.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I entered the language exams IELTS. Back in time, there was only IELTS. Mm-hmm. There was no OS. So I entered IELTS and then gave prep and got registered with GMC.
Okay.
And then I ended up at Leicester as a stroke consultant. That's another story I must tell.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you said, I was trained in neurology in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
However, finding a neurology post in the UK is very difficult. It is a very competitive subspecialty, actually.
That's true.
So, people are doing PhDs before they start training in neurology.
Mm-hmm.
And me coming from Turkey without any background of PhD or anything, mm-hmm. it was very difficult. So when I started looking for the jobs, I could apply for the junior position post in the neurology department.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to work with a headhunter agency. You know, that those ones that they find IMGs from other countries and they try to find them positions in the UK.
Okay.
So I wanted to work with one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there, one of the agents said that maybe I should go for the stroke route, because it was a field that has been simply cherished, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It is a part of neurology, but it is now a subspecialty of stroke medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And people are founding more training posts and high-level jobs in these fields.
Mm-hmm.
So they offered me a job in the stroke medicine, and I said, yes, why not? We tried to go for specialist jobs for a couple of months.
Okay, just to sum up, so until that point, you have finished your residency training back in Turkey, right?
Yes, exactly. And I was a neurologist, and I had 1 year experience in Turkey.
Okay, was it a compulsory service?
It was a compulsory service.
Okay, yeah. That's great. And then during that time, you have got the registration with the GMC through which route? Have you given the PLAB exams or?
Yes, I have given the PLAB exams rather than the MRCPs.
Uh-huh.
I thought it would be easier for me to give these exams because MRCP is a more generalized version,
uh-huh,
and much more detailed. So uh-huh, I decided to go for PLAB route, which was quite easier after coming from Turkish background. We have difficult exams.
Yes, that's true. And then your first job here in UK was a stroke consultant, or just you worked at the hospital as a staff to see how it goes?
So let me say it this way. I applied to a consultant position,
mm-hmm,
but I made a pre-deal. I told them that I would like to be working as a consultant, but I had no experience in the UK, so if they could give me like 3 months or so,
mm-hmm,
a registrar post so I can get used to the customs in this country,
that's true,
I would be happy to work as a consultant afterwards. And they agreed to that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to go to details about that contract? Or
that would be great, if you can.
So, as I said, I made a pre-deal with them, like before marriage and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I told them that I had no experience in the UK and I would like to experience as a junior doctor firsthand and then upgrade to the consultant level, which they agreed, thankfully. So I started working as a registrar. I did all those stuff that a junior doctor will do.
Mm-hmm.
I had been on calls and everything and learned how different the practice in the UK.
Okay.
And at the 12th month, they asked me if I would be able to go and upgrade myself to a consultant position.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, I don't feel quite safe at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If that's possible, I would like to continue as a registrar for another 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, they also agreed to that. I worked as a registrar for 6 months,
mm-hmm,
learned the customs and the differences between the practices,
mm-hmm,
and then upgraded to consultant position.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, did you want to do a fellowship, or is it a requirement for them to do a fellowship, or is there such a thing?
Actually, that wasn't a requirement by them.
Mm-hmm.
They initially suggested that I could do shadowing for the first 2 weeks,
mm-hmm,
and then start as a consultant right away afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to go with the slow route and make sure that I am quite safe. Oh, I feel safe with the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggested them that I could work as a registrar for a couple of months and, mm-hmm, see how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I was lucky and they accepted that suggestion and we started that way. But as I said,
mm-hmm,
since this field is a new subspecialty and there are lots of open positions,
mm-hmm,
they were quite happy for me to start as a consultant right away.
Mm-hmm. So would you recommend people like who have had enough experience to go for it? Sometimes people do not feel confident enough in their skills, so they just do not want to apply for consultant jobs. And usually, there are lots of things, lots of information out there saying that you have to get the registration through CESR.
Yeah.
So my
route will be different from CESR.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a different type of qualifications and different type of training posts,
mm-hmm,
throughout the route.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I started working as a consultant right away,
mm-hmm,
and I'm expected to fill those requirements throughout my practice. So I will be giving MRCPs and other types of qualifications while I'm doing the job.
Okay. I see. So I believe you accomplished lots of things during your trial period. So that's why they offered you the job again, consultant job.
Mm-hmm.
So is it can you tell us that's all related with your strong background, that training background, or is it mostly related with your personal communication skills?
Okay, let me start it that way. Actually, I noticed that I didn't answer your previous question also.
Mm-hmm.
So let me say that people should apply for the jobs that they feel they will be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in stroke, we had a lot of experience in Turkey, so I decided to go for a stroke consultant job because I knew that I will be able to manage that job.
Yeah.
So if they feel like it, they should be applying those jobs. And throughout the interview, the consultants that interviewing the candidate won't feel that they will be successful. They won't offer the job anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no harm for aiming for the high targets. And secondly, when I started here, it was actually quite the culture shock for me.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of the first week, my clinical director consultant asked me if my English was sufficient enough to discuss the cases with the patient.
Mm-hmm.
So it is quite challenging.
Mm-hmm.
To have the first couple of months in a different country.
Yes.
So I would say they should be expecting all kinds of difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
As you said in the beginning, they should flourish from those challenges and they should manage to find a way.
That's so true. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. It's just it creates lots of confusion for us to change our environment. Because we all are coming from very successful backgrounds, so it sometimes becomes challenging to face those hardles.
The position that you have.
Yeah. So, go ahead, please.
Sorry to overspeak. It is a big difference, and in Turkey we have been trained for some years and have been shown respect for that position for a very long time.
Yes, that's
and
true.
When you move to another country, you just became like the infant or toddler that has no experience at all in that field. And then if they are expecting you to be able to do everything, it just becomes a very big pressure.
Mm-hmm.
However, with time, I also understand that our training in Turkey was sufficient enough and I managed to sail through all those hardship and difficult periods.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am doing my consultant job for the last 8 or 9 months, and I'm quite happy with it.
Okay, that's great. I think you and your family should be proud of yourself. So there are a lot of confusion for the job titles, training positions at the NHS. So you said that you started with a registrar position at the beginning. What is the difference between a registrar position? I believe it's a kind of like a senior position at the end of the residency. Please correct me if I am wrong. What's the difference between a fellow and a registrar?
Well, it is still confusing for me, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I must say, so if you divide the doctors as consultants and junior doctors, junior doctors also gets divided in two groups.
Mm-hmm.
One of them are like junior doctors, like FY1s, FY2s, and then there are the specialist junior doctors, like registrars.
Mm-hmm.
So a registrar is a doctor who has some experience in that field, so it is more experienced than a junior doctor, but also not given all the exams and qualified as a consultant.
Okay, I see. So you have been practicing as a neurologist in Turkey back at home and in the UK. It's two different countries. Are there critical differences between two in terms of patient care, clinical settings, or administrative work?
I must say there is a huge difference between two countries.
Mm-hmm.
It could be because that Turkey is not really as planned or organized as the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any experience in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
But in this country, in the UK, we have lots of steps that we have to follow with every patient. In Turkey, it's more like a traditional way that you just go with your feeling about the patients. But here you have all kinds of guidelines on everything that you have to follow.
Yeah.
That is actually, in a way, both good and bad, because it gives you an option to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are really experienced in Turkey for a very long time, it will be very difficult for you to switch from that practice to the UK practice. So it is a both disadvantage and also advantage
mm-hmm.
to have guidelines.
Okay, I see. And so it's a huge move. So you have to change your academic setting, and you move, as far as I know, you moved to United Kingdom with your family. So what is the most difficult part? Changing your career or changing your personal environment in terms of family, friends?
Okay, for me, I would say it was more difficult to switch the social environment.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that I was a social human being in Turkey,
mm-hmm.
and now in the UK I don't have enough social support that I had in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I was always thinking about my own career when I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, moving with the family, it created more conflicts because
mm-hmm.
my spouse or my partner didn't want to come here because he had to step down his position.
Mm-hmm.
So he was working as a senior trainer in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And when we moved here, because he didn't have any UK experience, they wanted him to work as a senior trainer, which he didn't want to.
Okay.
So it created some conflict between us. And that is why we are planning to move back, in a way. So it is very difficult to have settled down as a family in this country.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any advice or recommendation to overcome this feeling of, like, I think we as Turkish doctors have a good, I would say, life in our communities, because we are usually respected. And we usually have good relationships with family and friends. But when it comes to moving to a country like United Kingdom, it has some setbacks as well regarding social relationships. Would you recommend anything at all to overcome this feeling of loneliness?
I would say they should try to choose places where they can have some friends around, because I remember in the first couple of months I was feeling so homesick that I was only visiting my Turkish friends in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So that really helped me a lot. And also, whenever my partner was in Turkey for a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
I managed to find some comfort with the friends that I have here.
Mm-hmm.
So it is difficult to find a proper position for yourself, especially in the big cities. But if you think that you are really socially dependent person,
mm-hmm.
I think you should go with your with a position where you can find friends.
I agree, totally agree. I have lived in the United States, in Canada, and now I have been living here more than a year. I think this country has a different setting regarding social relationships. So I would recommend people to choose. When you are in back at home, you think that everything is going to be fine wherever you go. It doesn't matter much, but it matters most. So
exactly.
I think they need to consider lots of things when they make a decision like this.
Well, I completely agree with you. I have to reflect to my
mm-hmm.
past. when I was working in Turkey in training period, I was saying all my friends that you are only my colleagues and I don't want to really spend time with you outside mm-hmm. of the job.
Mm-hmm.
But when I moved here, I noticed that I should be cherishing the relationship with me because you just don't find the same social support here. I mean, they tell you jokes, but you cannot really relate with that because your childhood and adulthood was different.
Mm-hmm.
And the jokes that you are telling, they really don't have any idea.
That's so true. So would you mind telling me about your future endeavors? Are you happy where you are now? So where would you like to see yourself in next couple of years?
Okay, so that is also a little bit complicated for me because, as I said just a couple of minutes earlier,
mm-hmm.
We weren't really managed to find our places here in this country. So from job point of view, doing the medicine in this country, practicing as a doctor, is very rewarding, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Turkey, with the new political views,
mm-hmm.
we don't really get the respect that we should be having.
Mm-hmm.
But in this country, the patients are really very respectful to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard thank you more than I have heard in Turkey.
That's true.
So it is very nice to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't happy in Turkey, and I came here, and I wasn't really happy doing the practice here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I understand about that I wasn't happy with the job itself rather than the people. So
mm-hmm.
it is a very important decision that people should be taking. They should be sure if they really like the job and they don't like the country they are practicing,
mm-hmm.
or if it is something else. In my case, I was always blaming Turkey about this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved here, I noticed that it wasn't really the problem with Turkey, and I wasn't really loving the job itself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I noticed that, and since my partner wasn't also happy here,
mm-hmm.
we continue with my contract for a little bit longer
mm-hmm.
till we finish it,
mm-hmm.
and then we will be moving back to Turkey.
Okay, and then when you go back to Turkey, are you willing to practice medicine again, or are you going to walk away from the medicine to pursue your career in other options like business or such?
Yeah. I think I will walk away from medicine altogether
mm-hmm.
because, as I said, it is very, very very rewarding working as a doctor in this country. It is, I mean, you earn good money, you earn good respect from patients and your colleagues,
mm-hmm.
and even on the street, when people hear that you are a doctor,
mm-hmm.
they look you differently and they show you more respect. So it is something nice. But as I said, I don't really like the job itself, so
mm-hmm.
I will be working in a pharmaceutical company or insurance company.
Okay. So I wish you best of luck. So I will be happy to hear your success stories in that field as well. So if you would talk to your younger self, what would you tell him?
Well, that's a very difficult question. I would say don't go for medicine.
Okay. A good start.
If he ends up with a medicine, I would say I should be much more careful with doing my choices in specialty.
Mm-hmm.
So when I choose my specialty in Turkey,
mm-hmm.
I choose it just because of the result that I had from the exam, and I didn't really listen to myself about what I really want to do. So when I chose neurology, I could also choose like anesthesiology or infectious diseases.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty much at the same range in means of points.
Mm-hmm.
And although I had very big interest in infectious diseases, I decided to go with neurology because it was much more fancier,
mm-hmm.
if I may say.
Mm-hmm.
And because in neurology, for example, we don't really have a very good improvement factor with the patients. In many cases, the neurology patients are chronic patients who doesn't have any kind of
cure
or treatment.
Mm-hmm.
So after a couple of years, it just became a little bit depressing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is one of the factors that I want to quit the job as a doctor.
Okay, I see.
So it is a big and very difficult decision that they should be making before they choose their specialty.
Back in Turkey, we usually are expected to study for the exams well enough to score the best scores and just make the choices according to that score and let it go. But I think in real life, it's not the case. You have to be careful with your decisions because at the end of the day, you will be dealing with that job for a long time.
Yeah, for the rest of your life.
Yes, which is a long time, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So as a last question, from your perspective, be a clinical or non-clinical book, is there any book, any podcast that you would recommend us that we can cherish our time with it?
Okay, so that's a difficult question. I don't really believe in self-improvement books.
Mm-hmm.
I will go with a fantasy book.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Neil Gaiman's American Gods.
Okay.
I'm always very fond of ancient history, like the gods and everything. So it is a very nice book for me. It gives you a perspective where you wouldn't really have any idea about
The
gods being alive in this current world. So it's a very nice book. It gives you a different perspective about a fantasy world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sounds nice. I haven't read it, but I will definitely read it. I put it on my list.
Perfect.
So, and then, is there anything you would like to add?
Lastly, I would say everyone should try coming to a different country if they really want to, because after all, I would say this was one of the most exciting experiences that I had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me the option to understand myself much better.
Mm-hmm.
And also it gave me more ideas about what I want for my life and my future.
Okay, that's great. So I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. I know you had a very busy day, and I appreciate your willing to talk to us. Thanks so much. And I have to say that I definitely learned a lot, and our listeners have learned so much too. And
thank you very much.
I believe we need to listen this again and again to understand more, because I think your story has lots of hints and tips to deal with the real life.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Dr. Saydan İnce. The key point of this episode is that medicine is a very broad-ranging topic, but your individuality can be put in different ways. There is a way that you can find fulfillment and happiness and the passion that you had when you began this journey. Medical students come out from the medical education with shattered dreams and hopes. The medical education system literally should teach three skill sets and only gives one of them. These three skill sets are technical skills, the human skills, and the business skills of being a doctor. And we receive no business training, which leaves us completely open prey for third parties, which financially destroys us. Regarding human skills, we have to learn how to face adversity or grief and how to need to handle those things. I would really encourage you to check out the show notes for this episode on the website. Anything you have heard here could be found on the show notes. As always, please click subscribe on whichever platform you are listening, to be iTunes or Stitcher, and consider sharing this podcast with people who you think would enjoy this podcast. Be friends, colleagues, residents, and medical students. Please, if there is any questions, concerns, or comments, you can head on over to Twitter at drsmileyface.uk. If you would like to get in touch, email us at trymonchallenge2020@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. Don't forget to join us for another episode. Thank you for listening. Until next time, folks, take care.